The unknown always holds more drama than reality. On the canoe deck in front of me lays a set of maps, charting a waterborne mystery that's about to unfold. A complicated maze of lakes is connected by what looks like a spiderweb of rivers and streams that tie the watershed together. All but the largest lakes are unnamed. There are no written records of any modern paddler traveling this way before. Though stone tent rings at an ancient campsite tell me I'm not the first to be here. The people that called this campsite home have been gone for a century or more. This is the route we chose to paddle this summer, an exploration into a tundra landscape in the Nunavut Territory of Canada. My partner is a Canadian from Manitoba. He and I have a shared passion for seeking out unique and challenging paddling routes on the rivers that lie north of where trees grow in North America. A decade of trip planning and paddling together gives our partnership a level of familiarity that can only be built with time. Our route is an exercise in connecting watersheds, water that on maps flows in blue ribbons from different directions. We'll paddle upstream on some rivers and portage across heights of land to paddle down others. The details of our route came to life from maps and Google Earth. Widely spaced contours mean gentle, flowing water. Closely spaced contours mean fast and possibly unrunnable water. Telltale white streaks of rapids on Google Earth satellite images confirm fast water, whether it's runnable or not. The path we follow is our own. The success or failure of our trip will also be our own. Trip planning is the opposite of living in the moment. Planning is the act of anticipation, visualizing what might be. I plan ahead so that I can live in the moment when the time comes. The trick is to recognize when the planning is done and when to be present for the trip, to let your adventure unfold around you. Our trip begins when a bush plane leaves us alongside a lake. Oversized tires bounce on the uneven tundra as we land. A swarm of mosquitoes supervises as we unload the plane. Pans of ice float in the lake nearby. Between this partly frozen lake and our ending point on Hudson Bay lie the unnamed waterways that we'll paddle. As I watch the plane disappear over the horizon, the sound of the plane's engine is slowly replaced by the hum of mosquitoes. The stark realization is that we are now on our own. I had months to think about the unnamed rivers of our route. Like a Rolodex in my mind, I flipped through years of accumulated experiences running rapids. Would an elevation drop be easy and nondescript like so many small rapids in the Arctic? Or would it be a white-knuckled ride on continuous Class 4 rapids? We've experienced all of these. Perhaps the time I had to think about the rapids ahead amplified their significance in my mind, making the challenges seem bigger than they actually are. But dangers in rapids are real. If something goes sideways, we'll have to rescue ourselves. Those revelations roll around in my mind, growing like a snowball rolled in wet snow. My words are bounded by the facts. Feet of drop per mile, distance. My thoughts have no such boundaries. Hypothetical scenarios of calamity run like a slideshow in my head. On this July morning, my partner and I run out a section of river, leaving one of the big lakes along the route. Two elevation contours cross the river over just a few miles of distance. It's not an impossible gradient to paddle, but it's worthy of respect. As we slide the canoe into the river and begin running the first rapids, all my visions of what might be are replaced by paddle strokes in real time. We zip past rocks, curling waves, and whitewater holes. It's a morning of finding a balance between too much water and not enough. The line between the two shifts like an image viewed through a prism. From the riverbank above, the route through the rapids looks tame. Looking over the brink at river level, the rapids grow in ferocity before my eyes. In the canoe, the interplay between my partner and I is sometimes a graceful dance on the water. We read each other's movements, telegraphing a direction left or right to catch a tongue of water through the rocks. The paddling partnership is stronger than each of us alone. Sometimes in our water dance, we do well just to keep the canoe going straight, careening off of rocks in the fast water, purely functional and inelegant. In the canoe, I see only what's in front of me. A blur of rocks and water, swirling rapids, and then, amid the apparent chaos, a ribbon of smooth water beckons. The water knows the way downstream. So, we follow. The stress and frenetic paddling through the maze of rocks reaches a crescendo. Then, just as quickly, the downward rush of water is over. The canoe glides into the calm pool below the rapids. We lay our paddles across the gunwales and exhale. Now, only flat water lies ahead. Behind, I remember only a succession of rapids that melded together into one, a single memory of a long slide downhill on a ribbon of water. The angst I invested in this stretch of river now seems unnecessary. The slideshow of potential calamity running in my head stops. I archive it for another day. My tension dissipates into the cool air of the Arctic summer. At this confluence, we begin paddling towards the next height of land, a new river system, and new rapids. The next chapter in the mystery of blue lines and map contours that'll unfold on our way to Hudson Bay. Running rivers reminds me to give myself to the task at hand, to focus totally on what's in front of me. I plan for the journey ahead, but I expect that things won't go exactly as planned. Adventure and life are unpredictable. I try to listen to my intuition, those other voices in my head that sometimes whisper or shout advice. I let the sum of my experiences guide my hands and my heart. Even the most difficult stretches of water and life have a beginning and an end. What seems difficult from a distance can be successfully completed in the moment, sometimes with a paddle in hand.